Welcome to the Iced Tea Podcast, the podcast where we spill the tea on figure skating. My name is Megan.
I'm Netta. Hi, Megan. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pivoting and becoming an ASMR channel. I've decided, first of all, this is no longer a podcast. It's now a channel. And secondly, it's no longer about figure skating. It's now ASMR. It's really rainy, y'all. And my sound recording setup is not soundproof enough. So if you hear the rain, you're welcome. And I hope you're not driving or operating heavy machinery while you're listening to this, I guess.
It's like Benoit Richaud, like, did a mix of your life. And so there's a lot of rain being added. If you hear, like, a car crash or something, don't panic. It's just Benoit DJing your life.
There is, like, because I'm in Bulgaria, there is, like, dial-up modem sounds, which is a thing that Alexandra Fega's long program has in it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, there might be, like, some heart monitor, like, beep, beep, beeps.
Yeah, every single sound effect that you hear is because I am fully in the Matrix and my simulation is being ran by Benoit Richaud is what's happening. How are you doing?
So, I'm good. I'm ready to talk about Worlds. I can't believe that it's already, the season's almost over. We still have World Team Trophy.
Olympics, but the, like, serious part of the season is coming to an end. And I just want to say, what a fucking way to start wrapping up this season.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this. It was really, like, a pretty joyful and wonderful event. So I think before we get into that, we should just get, like, some serious stuff out of the way really quickly.
Okay, here we go. So I'll get the serious shit out of the way. Hey, y'all, we know that there have been some pretty serious allegations made about a figure skater in the competitive field, current competitive field. No one's been named. We don't know any names. There are some pretty educated guesses as to who may be allegedly involved in some pretty fucked up shit. We're not gonna talk about it, and we're not gonna, like, make any commentary until such a time if or when anything gets confirmed. We just want to say that in this house we believe and support survivors above anything else, fuck abusers of any sort, and we believe anyone who's been brave enough to come forward with any sort of sharing of their story or allegation.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. There that's it.
So, that being said, on a lighter note, shall we talk about some ice skating?
Oh my god, yeah. I want to start with the men's field. I want to start with men, because I have a hot take, okay?
Oh, okay.
My hot take is that, and we all know that I had a lot of fun last season, right? Like, there's people who were salty about some shit. I wasn't one of them. I thought, as far as men go, everything, including the Olympics, was fantastic last season. However, I do think that this event for the men, and especially the free program, was more fun than the Olympics.
Yeah. No, I think that that is fair. I think that, like, I think that that's extremely fair. I mean, just the skating part. I think that, like, obviously the experience of watching the Olympics with you was really fun.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sorry, we were talking about the song Levitating before this, so I had to. I agree. And I think also I saw a really, really hot take on a locked account that will remain anonymous because I care about this person's safety.
Oh, God.
That Shoma, if we take this to be like Shoma at his peak, at his prime, is better than Yuzu was at his prime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think there's an argument to be made for that, but, like, you're not allowed to make it if you want to
survive
to draw breath on this earth.
Yeah. Oh, God. I respect it. I feel like they've developed very different styles and they're very, very different skaters. I also add the risk of being a hate crime the second I leave my house. More than one skater can be good at skating, and that's okay.
You take that shit back. You shut your whore mouth, Netta.
Oh my god, say that again. No. There's been, okay, here's the thing. Spoiler alert, Choma won. He defended his title. He's now a two-time consecutive world gold medalist. Good for him. People were mad at my bestie Mark Henretti for saying this fact, which is a statistical fact of life.
Yeah, I just... Look. Okay, here's the thing.
Tell me the thing, please, because I'm lost.
I'm reluctant to make this joke, but I'm going to make it anyway, because it's our Worlds episode, and mm-hmm. we got to do it. Mark Henretti is, you know, by all accounts, like, a really beautiful kind of twinkie man, and I understand the urge to bully him, but, like, you can't really do it.
The thing is, he would agree with you, I believe. He's been, he went back and liked every single one of my tweets from live tweeting, including the ones where I call him an LGBTQ plus ally and a feminist king. So I feel like he's down for the jokes.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope from there to twink. Yeah, no, so I get it. Like, if you see a really cute, nice man, you kind of... It's like the same thing of, like, you see a puppy that's too cute and you want to drop kick it. You can't do that to Mark Henretti. He's all we have, man.
Yeah, he's, like, the last one standing. I will say, this is the
first time...
I would, just for the
sake of clarity, I would never harm a puppy or a twink.
I mean, the twink may ask for it. The puppy can't give informed consent, but the twink might.
Yeah, for sure. I also am not into the puppy thing in the same way. But yeah, let's move on.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I did mean a dog. Like, an actual, like, non-human.
Wait, so did I. What did you mean?
Oh, yeah. There's layers here. There's layers here.
I'm like, I'm sitting here like, wow. Wow, this is going to be a great episode for new listeners. And then I'm like, no, everyone go home. It's fine.
Bringing us back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity.
Mom spaghetti.
Mark Henretti. I don't know. I am not a rapper. I've never claimed to be a rapper.
Wait, no, there's something here. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mark Henretti.
Knees weak. Mark Henretti. Hey, free display names, everyone. Yes. I can't personally change my display name because my name is important to me on the internet. But we know that Mix Dennis Rose Lee is out there. If you want to join the ranks of people who've taken inspiration from this show, the real Slim Shady Mark Henretti is up for the taking. What I did want to say is that this is the first time in a really, 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 really long time where I was excited and turning the volume up for the commentary. Mark Henretti and Belinda Noonan, I can't speak, Belinda Noonan fucking killed. I wish Belinda would run and be elected for ISU president and or president of the world. I adore her. This was the best commentating experience of all time.
I'm bereft that I wasn't privy to it. We're going to sort out our VPN game for next year.
Yeah.
I'm like, luckily, Peacock allowed us to do replays for like one day or something.
Hooray.
But then I went back today. And not only were they gone, but also there was no longer an option to look at any figure skating. Like, it was just erased from the face of the earth on their sports tab. So it just doesn't exist anymore. They've
Congrats,
gone back.
Congrats, everyone.
And, like,
we've done it.
We finally achieved the full erasure of figure skating.
Yeah, Belinda was fucking fantastic. She is so insightful. She is so knowledgeable and passionate about the sport. And she also pulled no punches. Good. She was fucking on it, calling out when jumps are not a jump that exists. Her commentary on Morrissey Kvitelishvili might have saved me years of therapy. It was just outstanding commentary, and they had jokes, the two of them. They were prepared. It was outstanding experience. Just so much fun. If we sort our VPN game soon, I will curate a best of for you on the ISU YouTube channel. Shall we talk about this podium?
Yes, we shall. In third place with the bronze medal from the United States of America is Ilya Malinin.
What a boy. What a man. I am so surprised that this is what it took for the ISU and for him to realize.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
They realize some things. They realize that tech and PCS are two completely separate things. And somehow it was Ilya who made them realize and not like anyone else.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much. I also very much appreciated that after his free skate, he was like, I've learned some things. I stand this child so much. Again, this season would have been an excruciating experience if I didn't. But I appreciate him, and he ended up saying stuff like, hey, maybe next year I'll do less quads and just, like, focus on my presentation a little bit. And I'm like, you're so smart, bestie, because if he can harness both of them, he will continue to be danger. But I feel like this insane, truly insane free skate with 5 quads in it, one of which was a ratified landed at Worlds quad axle, which still ended up in third place. I think he's figured it out on paper. Now it's going to take work to actually do the work, but he's figured it out, and that's exciting.
Yeah, I hope so. Like, I would like to see it. I could also see there being kind of a, you know, forward and back trajectory of, you know, oh, but I have all this tech content. Oh, but it's not enough. Oh, but I have all this tech content. You know, I mean, I think it's sometimes a big realization like that doesn't always happen all at once, like early in your career, but I hope it does. I do think that, I mean, I'm proud of him for saying what he did in the press conference about, you know, maybe you don't push the tech stuff so hard. Maybe it's not all about that. You know, and I think that he did hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think if he hadn't really, like, used up all his juice on the quad axle, it could have been a different story. Yeah. But also, I understand why he did. I mean, it's Worlds. You're the only one with a quad axle. May as well.
Yeah, you might as well try it. Could have made history in a different way if he had skated way cleaner and with higher presentation. Could have been like a, hey, look at this newcomer, like, potentially being a lot more of a threat to the defending champion and all of that. But I'm into this story. I'm into this trajectory of here is this child who's a history maker already. Like, regardless of what he does, he has it. Like, this is his, and no one can take that away from him. But then I have the protocols open, and then you look at it, and, like, the composition and presentation and skating skills are, like, in the 7s and the 8s. And it's like, this is going to be so exciting in a couple of years when we find a balance, right?
Absolutely. I do sort of also wonder whether Coach Raf is going to let him scale back on the tech stuff. I mean, I think that Raf is really smart, but I also wonder because he's used to, you know, coaching these absolute tech powerhouses like Nathan Chen and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, whether Ilya's, you know, plan of focusing more on the artistry a little bit is coming from his coaching team, or whether the coaching team is going to, you know, not allow him to do that as much. I'm curious to see that.
Yeah, I'm also curious. I do think that Raf is very smart, and they've already, like I said, made the history with this, and it's still novel and it's still very exciting. But I feel like if we come back after, like, summer and everything, and the only thing we're just holding our breaths for is still the first 30 seconds of a free skate, it's gonna wear off eventually. And I think Raf and the rest of their team is, like, smart enough to know that we're gonna want to build on that. Or that's what I'm hoping. And also, I think that if Ilya goes into preparing his programs for next year and, like, working with choreographers with the attitude of, like, hey, this is what I want to focus on, like, his free skate is already a Shaylin program. If he shows up to, like, a Shaylin choreographic, like, session where you make a new program and he's like, hey, I want to push the shit more, I'm sure she can give him some quick masterclass pointers.
Yeah, the other thing I'm thinking about too is that if we sort of look at Nathan's trajectory as the previous, you know, quad king or whatever, coached by this team, Nathan kind of did every style under the sun, and his team really kind of made sure that he had done all these, like, checkpoints in his like curriculum of learning how to be a top skater, of like, we're doing a Latin program, we're doing a Broadway program, we're doing, you know, we're doing all the different genres. And then he got to be like, I'm gonna do my cool like indie techno music, modern dance, whatever. And Ilya kind of just started out there, and I'm wondering if they're gonna take him back a little bit on that trajectory of like, no, you have to do this kind of program and that kind of program and like build him up from scratch.
The day, and I know I've made this comment slash joke before, the day Ilya Malinin does a program that's age and gender and the rest of it appropriate for him, I'll be so happy. I've like really grown to enjoy his programs this year, but we know he's had a long history of like just truly insane program choices, and I would not be opposed to seeing something more quote-unquote classical or something from him. I think it would really push him in a very different and like interesting direction.
I want him to go full Dennis Vassilio's Romeo. Like, in fact, yes. I almost want Dennis to like coach him, even though he's like still competing. I feel like he needs some Dennis in his life. He needs that like sincere, earnest, not afraid to perform beautifully blonde guy moment in his life.
I think there is a lot to say about embracing like romantic lead energy.
I think Romeo is a perfect example of an age appropriate role. Like, I think that's like an iconic role. It's a classic thing, but it's like you need star power. And I think that would be, you know, if anyone's listening, I think a Romeo would be really nice for Ilya. Hint, 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 hint.
Oh, God. And put him in like a princely blouse.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I know he would like
a little puff sleeve and everything. Oh, my God. Like a vest.
Or if he's still against like any kind of frou-frou costume, put him in the Leo DiCaprio like colorful button-down shirt situation.
Oh, Romeo. My God, like a Leo DiCaprio Romeo program could be like, God, it could start like classical and then have the break and everything. There is so much to think about. Let him do a pirate. I just want to see him in a little like pirate not like a like a flouncy blouse, just like a little like the prince pirates structured top.
Let him be Keira Knightley.
Let him be Keira Knightley. Let everyone be Keira Knightley. Like, so much of my costuming suggestions boil down to let people be Keira Knightley in one of her many, many parts.
Let there be Keira Knightley on Earth and let it begin with me.
Oh, God. Yeah, but I'm excited for him. I'm excited for his new tricks. I have no doubt we're about to see the fucking quad axel in a sequence with a triple and some fucking insane shit next year. And I'm excited for that, but I also want to see Romeo. Like a metaphorical Romeo. Like, whether it's actually Romeo or if it's a metaphorical Romeo, I'll still be happy. But I'm excited for this dream trajectory that I have for him.
Hell yeah. Speaking of dream trajectories, second place with the silver medal from South Korea, Jeonwon Cha.
Jeonwon Cha, who I don't think expected this. And I'm not saying he's not worthy of it. He fucking performed. I feel like he was skating for himself more than he was skating for the podium. And I think that's what worked.
I think so, too. I mean, Brian Orser, when he got off the ice, he was like, wow, nice time to pull that out, or something to that effect. And it was like, one gets the feeling that, yes, okay, he expected it in a very passive way of like, he knew he could do it the whole time. His coaches knew he could do it the whole time. But it wasn't known that it was going to come out this particular day.
Yeah. It was, I mean, both of his programs, again, Shailen Bourne, the only woman, literal choreographer of the year, whatever the fuck, in the ISU Awards. Remember when that happened?
And they mean so much, given the past winners.
So much. They're important and bulletproof
awards.
Yeah. But anyway, she deserves one. She deserves everything. Like, give her a star in the Walk of Fame. Like, I don't know. Give her everything. Both of his programs are fantastic. The James Bond, he showed up to fucking play. It was... We often talk about like people who maybe did slightly better than they expected in the free skate, in the short program, and how that can affect them going into the free skate. And there's people that like the pressure gets to them. There's people who like very much rise to the occasion. I think Jung-won was just so ready at that point and so grounded in it and just like owned every single second of this free skate. And it was, I'm just gonna go ahead and say it, it was extremely hot. Good for him.
Yeah, I think he's one of those skaters who the second he messes up and realizes it's not going to be the most perfect thing, he just kind of like throws it away and like mentally quits on it.
Yeah.
And I think that he just at no point reached that point. Like he never messed up. And so he never kind of switched off the trying switch. And it worked out. And I think that even from short to free, that confidence stayed with him. I think these two programs, they're really good for him because they both sort of they exude like coolness, which I think works with his vibe because he's not the most expressive guy, but he does have like a certain confidence and coolness to him. So to go like Michael Jackson, James Bond, to like notoriously cool dudes. and I think we've been saying from the start, if he ever makes a facial expression, it's over. And like he did, he started making facial expressions and look what happened. He got silver at Worlds.
Yeah. One judge gave him a solid 10 on presentation and they're so right and they should say it. And I don't know, man, I was trying to like express this while I was live tweeting. I was also very sick the day of the free skate, so all of it feels like a very joyful fever dream. But I was trying to express that there is other people in this field and in the history of figure skating who are like rock stars, who are like, you know, like star power, like all of that. Jung-won is like a movie star. He has like a different kind of like swag about him, and it really fucking works with both of those programs. I think it's like the one, it's the killer look at the very top of the James Bond. And you just know he's got it. And it's so good.
Yeah, I think it's like the difference between, you know, there's celebrities who are like, yeah, I'm going to have like an autograph signing. And then there's celebrities who are like running around like Bigfoot, like away from the paparazzi. And that feels very Jung-won to me.
Yeah, it feels like he has the energy of like stepping out of a car with massive sunglasses, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Yeah.
It's, and like Y2K shit is like en vogue right now. So I guess like the paparazzi vibe is like really working for me. I don't know. I'm overjoyed for him. I was not expecting him to get silver, but now that it's happened, I'm like, nothing else could have worked.
Yeah, and you can tell it's been a lot of hard work, too, not just on things like facial expressions and, you know, whatever, even though that's what we care about. I mean, you know he's been working so, so, so hard on getting those under rotations together, and it's really paid off, you know?
Yeah, he's fantastic, and I really, really hope he lets this, like, momentum from this incredible success, like, propel him into next season. I'm very excited for new programs. Like, I'm gonna miss those if he changes them, but I feel like now that we've found what works, I'm excited to see how else we can kind of have fun with it.
I also wouldn't be mad if he kept them for part or all of next season, because I sort of feel like it took him so long to find them, and it might be worth like not wasting a whole first half of another season trying to find the next programs. That might be worth saying, hey, we found these, they work, we haven't gotten to do them at their full potential that many times, let's keep them around. Like, I would love to see that, honestly.
I would not complain at all if I got to see them more.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said if I got to see them or, so I was waiting for the other part of that.
Just more.
Cool, we're so good at broadcasting. Yay.
Yeah.
No. And I just a final thought on that is that when I looked up his Wikipedia page to remind myself all of the specifics of the event and everything, they had a picture of him doing peanut butter jelly. And I was like, wow, we've come so far from peanut butter jelly, you guys. So far, indeed.
God, it's been a long time. It's been a long couple of years.
It's been a really long couple of years, but he's put them to good use.
Speaking of a long couple of years.
Christ almighty, with the gold medal in first place from Japan, Shoma Uno, two-time world national champion. In the words of coach Stefan Lambiel, you are the champion, Shoma. You are the true champion. It was you.
I cried. I cried.
And I crowed. We all crowed.
I crowed. I couldn't. This is so personal to me. I mean, I know we've joked about him being the main character of figure skating, the movie. I think this continues to be his fucking field. We talked about it up top a little bit. He was perfect. He has grown so much as just a performer and an overall skater in every way. And also, I'm never gonna shut up about it. I was there in Grenoble in 2019, and I remember where we started.
That was like your 9/11, Netta.
That was my 9/11. Like, I remember being there. I remember
a
where
second
I was sitting.
Shomo Uno has hit the ice.
Like, there were like six Shomo Unos who hit the ice that day. Oh, there were so many of them, and he was by himself and he was crying. And now he's a 2-time consecutive world champion. Oh, and it feels so good. It feels so good.
Oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't without its wobbles. The free skate was a close call. After Junwon put down that free skate that he did, it was kind of like a, ooh, is it? Maybe?
See, the thing is... Yes, go for it. I'm talking
say,
so much.
You kind of love to see. I mean, we'll talk about it with Kaori as well. I think that there's a certain level of, like, stress and excitement with, is the returning national champion going to be able to hold their own against this fantastic South Korean whiz kid who's worked so hard? I mean, it's a kind of parallel narrative.
I love the drama. I love the drama of... I mean, I always enjoy when it's like, X person is just going to carry this away in a handbasket and it's just theirs. I like that. I love a close call. I love when I'm looking at, like, the decimal points of shit because it came down to truly... Like in the free skate, the difference is like 0.12 or some shit between first and second place. And that's riveting to me. Yeah. I mean, he's still won with like 5 points overall. So, like, you know.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that occasionally the whole like sentimental legacy, like, okay, this person kind of deserves to win on body of work, so we'll score them accordingly, does work out in the favor of the person who deserves it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's necessarily what Shoma's thing was, but I think that it was like, yeah, very much deserved on body of work for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. The narrative was perfect. He also did go into the free skate with like a 5-point lead or like a 4-point lead because his short was outstanding. So it was just overall, it was his to defend and he did it. Let me tell you what my favorite part of it was, though.
Oh, please do.
We're in the second half, right, of his free skate. And it's going beautifully. Like, we're killing it. And then he kind of fucks his quad toe a little bit. It goes in the quarter and he misses the combo. He knows it's supposed to be a quad toe double toe. Like, that's what he's planned. That's what he's declared. It doesn't happen. And then we're like, oh shit, for this to work, his next quad toe needs to be in combination. And it is. Is it with a single toe? Yes, it is. And you know, I love a champion who singles something just for fun. It makes me so happy. It makes
king
me so
shit.
Happy.
Thoroughly king shit.
Like, fucking laughing a little bit as you're singling something, but you probably know that the math's gonna work out in your favor, is what this sport is about for me personally.
Yeah, and even after the short, he was so, like, bummed about, you know, oh, the weeks leading up to this were so rough. And Stefan was like, please don't worry about that. Like, please don't. Like, it's just about tonight. It's just about this. And
yeah.
God, what a good coach. And, like, please fight for the triple toe, because that was an issue in the short. So that was, like, something that, you know, we were all saying to each other for a while.
Yeah.
Please fight for the triple toe. But Shoma's also a king for thanking Marin Honda, because I think everyone should thank Marin Honda in
just
their...
Just for existing.
Just for existing. And, like, you know, to everybody, I don't know if they've actually, like, publicly confirmed they're a couple, or if this was it, or if this wasn't it. I don't know. But, like... I have been saying since day one, I was like, this is not just a joke. This is real. And everyone was like, Megan, it's a joke. And I was like, no, the show Marin truthers know what's up. And I was
I'm
very
happy
vindicated.
For y'all. Like, I don't go here, but I'm happy for y'all.
I don't know
I
anything about it.
I want the kids to be happy.
Yeah, I don't really do Instagram or anything. So I was like, I have nothing to go on here other than I just think that like they're both cute and would be cute together because they're like small and good at skating.
Yeah. Yeah. I respect that. I can see that. Because we've sort of done that for the rest of the podium, how do we feel on Shoma getting new programs for next season, maybe? Or do we want to keep seeing? Do we want more John Mayer, I guess is what I'm asking.
It's tough to say. I think that he did so beautifully with it. I think that at this point, it would be a little, I don't know. I would be disappointed to see repeats, even though I loved these, because yeah. Repeats indicate a little bit of unfinished business to me.
Yeah.
And I think Yuzu, when he was doing repeat programs, kind of said as much.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's the attitude that Shoma needs to have going into this next phase of his career. I think he can go into it like, let's try new things while we're still competing. And I also get the feeling he misses doing like a real downer program. Like his exhibitions recently have been so like depressing, and one gets the feeling that
he loves an emo exhibition.
Like he loves an emo exhibition, and I'm like, maybe Gravity is a kind of a sad song, but maybe the blues isn't sad enough. Maybe yeah. he needs like actual emo music. I don't know.
Have him skate to Watch like Me Black Bleed Parade. By Scary Kids Scaring Kids. If anyone gets that reference, please at me, at NedMarie on Twitter, because that was a deep emo pull. Yeah, have him skate to fucking My Chemical Romance. I would have a great time with it. We know he has the fucking D-squared tank top for it, the one that looks like tattoos.
Well, speaking of, I would love to see him do something Great Spirit adjacent as well, yes. But like caveat, preferably not like maybe appropriative and preferably yeah. not literally Great Spirit because that's fucking cursed at this point.
Yeah, I feel like I'm looking at his past programs right now just to kind of like take a trip down memory lane. I think what I would like to see is either something deeply depressing or I would like to see something with more like of a fighting and pardon the pun, spirit in it. Like, I think his Bolero and his Great Spirit, like, have this, like, energy of, like, I'm mounting a horse and I'm gonna fight things. And we all know I enjoy, like, a riding into battle sort of program.
Yeah, it would have to be kind of a pony, but I agree.
Yeah, he can do, like, a Lord of the Rings. He can portray the hobbits. Respectfully. Oh, my God. Like, deeply respectfully. Like,
you have to know that Hobbit is like the highest honor that Netta can bestow on anybody as a huge Lord of the Rings fan.
As a huge Lord of the Rings fan and as a person who habitually plays halflings in D&D. Hey, listen to Questblade Plans.
It is short.
As a fellow short. Shoma is only an inch taller than me, so I feel like I get to bully him for his height because I continue to be shorter. So I think it's allowed.
It's the same way that I'm allowed to make fun of Ateri's horrible dry curly hair because I have even drier curly hair. Like, it's my culture.
Yeah, I feel like if as long as you're offending your own people, it's fine.
And that is the only way that Ateri is my own people, just to clarify.
Yeah. It's just white woman with curly hair and nothing else.
Yeah, precisely. Anyway, congratulations to Shoma and long live the king.
Good for him. Amen. Let's talk about women.
Let's talk about women. In third place with the bronze medal is Belgium's own Luna Hendrix.
I'm so happy. I know. Look, I know we all wanted My Mihira on this podium. That's fine. I'm so happy for Luna because this is a prime example of the math just working out. She was fifth in the short. She was fourth in the free. And it was enough. Because other people's shit didn't work out as well as we would have hoped. I'm not happy about the other people, but I'm so happy about Luna because she's been so open about how ever since she podiumed at Worlds last year, there's been such a pressure on her and such of like a high expectation, and she doesn't feel like she necessarily like lived up to it. And it was difficult to cope with because it's nothing that she had to deal with previously in her career. And just this being the button of the narrative of her season makes so much sense with my personal fantasy. I'm overjoyed about it.
Yeah. And like, listen, My Mihara won the fucking Grand Prix final.
Yeah.
And you can't take that away from her.
Yes.
And I love the way that the women's sport is so unpredictable without the Russians that the winner of the Grand Prix final cannot podium at Worlds. It's insane. And I love it. And anyone who says that it's worse without the Russians is frankly
stupid.
Wrong.
Stupid. 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 Stupid
even. Maybe even a clown.
Maybe even a clown, and I love and respect clowns, so I'm not even sure if I agree with that. You're just incorrect. We praised the men extensively, and I just want to say the same about the women. This was an insane field. This was an insane field. Everyone was so good. I'm not going to do, like, special shout-outs and stuff because we didn't for the boys. I just want to say one quick thing. My favorite, Dasha Grom, has announced her retirement as of now, and I'm...
That was...
Despondent.
One of the best moments. That was one of the best moments.
It was gorgeous. I'll miss her so much. I hope she gets into like choreography and stuff because she's a powerhouse. But back to this podium.
Actually, as long as we're off podium, can I complain about one thing before
Please do
positive things? Okay. So I understand that NBC is an American news outlet. I understand that. But the way they title their YouTube clips is so unbelievably biased to the point of being hilarious that I can't even, like...
Okay.
I need to talk about how, as an American person who doesn't have, like, a fancy VPN at the moment, I'm kind of at the mercy of whatever NBC wants to post for clips if I want to be living anything. And I'm going to read to you the way that they've captioned Isabeau versus Kaori.
Okay.
I have to pull it up, of course, because I didn't know I was going to do this. So I'm going to read to you what they wrote for Kaori.
Okay.
Sakamoto, all caps, barely hangs on for repeat world title after dramatic free skate. Okay. And here's what they wrote for Isabeau.
Okay.
Isabeau Levito's personal best short program lights up Worlds.
And ends up in fifth?
Yeah, like she didn't put, like, I just, I mean, like, you know what, like.
I don't want to bully Isabeau because she's been very hard on herself for ending up, a spoiler alert, fourth at her first Worlds, which is fantastic and good for her. American nationalism is one hell of a drug, and good luck to y'all.
Yeah, no kidding. But anyway, I just, like, I saw that and I was like, I know, I get it, I understand, but also,
yeah,
this
but
is
no.
horseshit.
Yeah, this is bullshit. Let's, okay, back to this podium. Luna Hendricks, overjoyed for her. I don't think she expected it. I always enjoy watching a medal ceremony where someone is still kind of processing that they're doing the medal ceremony. It's like one of my favorite things about the entirety of the sport. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so excited for her. Maybe this is my, like, European nationalism. Europe is not a country. I don't know if Americans know that. Europe is not a country. But this is my European nationalism is showing.
Yeah, well, and I think if you're, like, a fan of European figure skating, it's been a while, but with all the Russian stuff, since you've gotten to be really stoked about your champions.
Yeah. No, and fucking the women delivered. There is two Belgian skaters in the top 10. Fucking Kimi Rapond is, like, one of the surprises of the season. There was so much exciting European figure skating this year from the women, and so much of it would have fucking been buried if we had the rest of this fucking field. And I get to be excited about that, I think.
Yeah, I think we all do. It's good for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, as the season closes out, I want to make one final plea on behalf of Luna's short program dress that I know a lot of people hated, and I liked it, and I just want to go on record saying I liked
it.
Actually, like, this is controversial. Friends of the pod, Jules and her mom, Laura, who we love very dearly.
Yo,
and are kind of my,
though.
I know, they're like my family away from my family. We watch skating together a lot. And yeah, they just don't like it. They think it's too loud and it hurts their eyes. And I respect you both and I love you both so much. But I just want to say, I want to use my platform on my show to say that I like it and I think she's working it.
I adore this dress. I'm excited about the fact that it's so neon that sometimes at some events the cameras have a hard time with it. This time she didn't, but she usually wears matching orange and pink earrings for it. And that's lesbian rights. I'm not insinuating anything about Luna herself, but that those are the colors of the lesbian flag. And it just makes me happy.
Yeah. Now, I would love to see her stick with that short program. If she wants to get a different costume to appease my friends, that's fine. And I think she should anyway, because I just want to see lots of dresses.
Yeah.
Free skate, I didn't like at all at any point. And
I know.
It's a snake. And I just want better for Luna. And if she keeps it, I'm going to like throw myself off of a Belgian waffle. I don't know. I didn't think that through.
A tower of Belgian waffles.
Yeah, a tower. That might do something. I could like sprain my ankle if I hopped off of like a 6-inch stack of Belgian waffles because they're thick, you know?
I am excited to potentially see new shit from her because we've been on a journey. I loved last year's programs, but the free skate was borderline orientalist and we all talked about it and we hate it. We know.
I mean, borderline, it was in the title.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm trying to be kind here. We're on a journey. I will say, if she keeps her short program, the only costume change that would be acceptable for me would be a full Jimmy Ma cosplay. Like a little hoodie and everything.
But, and would she chop her hair really short with an undercut to have like the tiniest bun?
That would make me personally happy.
I don't think I would survive that, because can you imagine her and Kaori on the same podium with little like, haircuts like that? I would die.
I tweeted something about Kaori getting a little undercut because in her short program she was dealing with like a shit ton of bobby pins to like slick back her hair, and I tweeted like, hey bestie, let me suggest tiny little side cuts, and there were several people quote tweeting it like, oh my god, I would not survive that. I'm like, besties, I'm right there with you. I'm plotting my own demise here, and I'm at peace with it.
Yeah, more androgynous haircuts in women's skating. I mean, did Dorothy Hamill teach us nothing? Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say it used to be a lot more prevalent, I feel like. There were, like, back in the days, there were a lot more, like, pixie cuts and shit, and we don't see that a lot.
Like Sarah Hughes, yeah.
Yeah. Like, think about it. Like, try to summon up women with short hair.
Try to summon Sarah Hughes into wherever room you're in right now. I know she's probably really busy, but see if you can summon her.
Yeah, just call her up, talk to her about short hair. There's, God, what's your name? La Pereva, ice dancer from France. She has like short red hair right now. I enjoy that very much. I just think we need more fun hair in women's figure skating. That's it.
For real. Anyway, Luna, cut all your hair off, but also don't if you don't want to. Either way, you're a star, baby. You won bronze and you're the best.
Hell yeah. In silver, with the silver medal, we have Hyun Lee from South Korea, who...
In silver with the silver medal at my birthday party with the birthday gift with the silver medal. Hyun Lee.
I'm not very smart. She won the free skate. She was beautiful. She was outstanding. We've all known this was coming. Like,
yeah, she won 4 continents. So obviously we knew she was kind of like on some kind of a trajectory.
Yeah, she found something that worked. She rode that and... I'm overjoyed. I once again wish it was with different programs, but we can't win them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a huge Phantom fan, and like, to say that I'm not a huge Eric Radford fan would be just a very, very kind overstatement. So,
see, Phantom is just a shitty musical.
I think.
And I'm not going to say anything about the short program because I'm a kind person.
Yeah, I think Phantom. Here's what I'll say about Phantom, and I apologize if I like just said this on the last episode. Sometimes I say things and then I say them again and I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to say it again because it's my show. I think Andrew Lloyd Webber is really good.
He's a criminal.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm going to shut up.
I think he's really good at writing like a really, really iconic, hooky, like main riff of a musical. Mm-hmm. Like Cats. Phantom of the Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What the fuck else did he do? Like, there's always, like, you could name the main, like, theme riff.
Yeah, like, you can, like, sing da, 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 a little da, da, bit da. Of them.
Yeah, it slaps, but I wish he would stop there because I think that's his strength. I don't think his strength is writing, like, a sung-through 3-hour musical that's all bangers and no skips. It's mostly skips.
Yeah. My toxic trait, and I think I tweeted this, my toxic trait is that, wow, I'm sorry, I just lost my entire train of thought. My toxic trait is that I'm a Phantom hater until Phantom starts, and then I'm popping the fuck off for like however many minutes I'm forced to listen to Phantom. And then I pretend that that was someone else who took over my body, and it didn't happen.
Phantom was the first musical I didn't like. It took like 13 years. And then when I was 13, I saw Phantom and I was deep in my like, I'm a musical theater girl. I'm a Broadway baby. I'm going to be a star. And I saw Phantom and I was like, oh, they can be bad too.
Wait, this is so personal. What is my first musical that I didn't like? You know what? My first musical that I didn't like was the first musical I ever saw, actually. And I lived with the idea that I hated musical theater for a very long time. And I know I've told this story before, but I'm going to say it again. I was very small. I was maybe like 7 years old and I saw Cats. So it's always fucking Lloyd Webber. I saw Cats, but I saw Cats in French and I do not speak French.
How did they make that skin? Was it like Monsieur Mistopheles? Was it like Ghetto?
Bestie, I don't remember. That was
wait a like minute. Ghetto 20... and Hakes. Gatto is Spanish. Okay, this is why I get confused. Okay,
shot.
Because my cat's name is Cake, and Gatto is Spanish for cat, and Gatto is French for cake. So I confuse them a lot because I make that joke a lot.
That is very, very
shot,
valid.
Shot is that would scan. Okay, great. Well, I'm glad we've all had this little romance.
I do not remember.
Lesson.
I do not remember shit. I do remember that a man wearing a very obvious dance belt came on stage and said, meow. And I was 6 years old and I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I wonder what Rumper Tumskin sounds like in a French accent. Is it Rumper Tumskin?
I don't know, but once again, my life is a simulation ran by Benoit Rochot, so I'm sure
Isabella
could let you know. Yeah, I lived with the idea that I didn't like musical theater for a very long time, and I was always like a theater child. Like, I started acting when I was like 5 years old, and I thought I was like a straight theater kid. I was like, oh yeah, fuck musical theater. And then I saw Rent when I was 14, and it rewired my brain chemistry. And
you can't
go
back to straight theater after Ren. It's just the least straight of anything.
Yeah, especially when it's like 2008 and you're in Bulgaria and you've never seen musical theater and then you're suddenly seeing Rent. It does something to you. Like, it changes you a little bit.
Anyway, huge apologies to Hai and Lee, who we have completely just derailed this to talk about ourselves. But
yeah, because we talked about
her
just like a week ago because she keeps winning things.
It's true. She's just so good. And like, I don't know, like, the fact that, we'll talk about in a second with Kaori, but the fact that she scared the pants off Kaori Sakamoto.
Yeah.
Like, can you fucking imagine the power of being like, I just did so well that the reigning world champion and the reigning, like, de facto Olympic champion.
Yep. Say
basically.
Speak on it.
Is scared and thinks that I beat her. Like, good Lord.
Yeah. I mean, she's a powerhouse. I really, really, she's another one that I really hope she takes the momentum and, like, fucking runs with it. Because we know, and we've talked about it, like, all season, the Korean field is also so, so, so deep. And there's so much, like, exciting talent there that she's, like, very much, like, staked her claim as, like, the bitch in this field. And I'm very excited for her.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I agree she staked her claim, but I also think that she's still in some ways, like the narrative is still that she's the underdog behind Yelim, who has not been doing great the past few competitions.
Yeah, she's
so
had
curious,
a bit of a time.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that plays out. I also, if we're talking about programs and repeating programs, I pray to God this won't happen. I mean, I pray that it will happen. I know it won't. But I want Haeyeon to bring back her like tribute to Korea program because I just thought it was so pretty.
If she was nailing everything the way she has been this season with that program, I would be having an even better time watching her fucking succeed.
That was just an iconic program, just in every possible way. The music, the costume, the choreo, she just like did a beautiful job with it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm very excited to see new shit from her, and I'm sure we're going to get new programs from her, and I can't wait.
I also think she's just so endearing. She's always just kind of like flapping her arms around and doing little like K-pop choreo and being kind of like sheepish and teenagery in a way that I find really endearing.
Yeah, I agree. She's I'm excited for her and her success. She's very precious. Anyway, let's talk about my lawfully wedded wife.
let's talk about your lawfully wedded wife in first place with the gold medal from Japan, the reigning two-time world champion, Kaori Sakamoto.
I could fucking cry. It feels so good. And again, I was there in 2019 when she was like, what, like fucking fifth at Grenoble. And I was just like, Stan Kaori, everyone. And people were like, there's so much other shit going on. Why would we? And I'm like, I've been fucking telling y'all. Oh my God, I love her so much. I love her so much.
Yeah, and what strikes me about Kaori's journey is that if we go back in time, maybe 4 or 5 years, to the beginning of this cycle if we go back to the beginning of the cycle, the Olympic cycle that culminated in this past Olympics, so like 5 years at this point, I feel like the composition of Team Japan was very like Satoko, Rika, Kaori heavy in a lot of ways. And it was like Satoko was the most gorgeous, beautiful skater who was like maybe to ever skate and was maybe not the most like technically reliable, but at the same time, like you had to put her in because she was just something else. Yeah. And then you had Rika, who was like the up and coming, who had the big, huge jumps that no one else had. And then Kaori was like safe, like rock solid, good, but like not the star. And that fact that she went from that to being the two-time world champion, I think, you know, we all saw it in her, but like it's not every day that like the solid rock, like non-star member of the team gets to rise up and be like one of the best of all time.
It makes me so happy. It makes me so happy. I will say what I said in the beginning of this episode, I knew this was hers. I didn't doubt it for a fucking second. We all knew it was hers. We knew it was hers halfway through the free skate, even though it didn't work out exactly like she would have wanted it to. I did enjoy the epic highs and lows of the 2 minutes of drama of her thinking she'd lost it and then getting to realize she didn't. It's theater.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it just goes to show how different the experience of skating it is from watching it, because I will say there are times when I go into a skate that is starting, and it's usually like the front runner's free skate who could lose it or not lose it. Like, occasionally I just have this gut feeling like this is going to be tight. This is going to be scary. This skater is not feeling their oats right now. And I had that with Kaori, and I was like on edge. I was like, I know that I'm not going to be able to breathe until this program's over.
Yeah.
And I felt that coming from her. And sometimes, to be fair, when I feel that, I'm wrong. Like, I used to feel that with Nathan Chen a lot, and then he would go skate totally open, so, like, whatever.
I always feel that with Nathan. Like, until he's landed, like, 3 jumps, I'm like, bestie, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, that was always my experience.
I could just kind of tell, you know? And but then by the end of the skate, once she was done, I did feel confident that the math was going to work out and she was going to win. Like, I was surprised that she was so convinced that it wasn't going to happen. But again, like, if you're on the ice, you're thinking of a million different things and not math. So,
and also, I mean, you said it, and I'm not going to, like, beat a dead horse. Like, I'm not. But as the de facto Olympic champion, who's not technically the Olympic champion, she's seen her fair share of shit not going exactly how she would have wanted it to. And also, it was like the poetry of, like, it was Saitama again, and it was the same mistake that she made 4 years ago, and she like wanted to reclaim like this venue where she had this traumatic experience where she didn't end up podiuming, and then she made the exact same mistake. And again, shout out to the fantastic commentary by Belinda and Mark. They pointed out the same thing. Yes, she might have made the same mistake, but she's like grown so much as an athlete that she didn't let it deter her from continuing to fight. Because what happened was, after that one mistake, she fought for the combo. And if she hadn't, that would have been it. Like, mathematically, if she had lost the one combo that she missed on the whichever the fuck thing it was, I can't remember anymore, and I'm not looking at the protocols right now. But if she hadn't fought for the combo on the flip that she singled, it wouldn't have happened. And
like, how did she do that, by the way? Like, pulling a full perfect triple
out of a single flip? I don't know. Like,
are you joking?
Willpower.
Physics that don't exist on my planet, but on planet Kaori, anything is possible.
You didn't get the fantastic experience of watching Ms. Belinda obsess over the speed of everyone's axles. Like, across fields in both men's and women's, she would get so excited about the skating scope, like the little graphs that show you things. She was so excited about the speed at which people exit their axles. And Kaori's in the short program was at about like 18.5 kilometers. And Belinda was like, I just know that if she pushed it a little bit, she could go over 20 kilometers. And then in the free skate, her double axel was over 21 kilometers per hour as she exits it. And Belinda was so happy about it. Like, she was like fully hollering on mic. It was gorgeous.
Yeah, and it is such a flex to me that like every skater has like their signature move, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are like a special spiral or an agility or flexibility element or something that's like choreographic. Yeah. Kaori's signature move is just having perfect axel technique and letting her running edge go on forever. And it's such a flex because it's not even something that you, I mean, I guess technically you sort of get extra points for it in GOE, but it's not like, you know, explicitly codified into it that like you get a lot of extra points for it. It's just like a, I do skating perfectly. I do old school skating perfectly. And it's like not, and there, anybody could, okay, not anybody could do, like stick their whole leg up in the air, like a crazy spiral or something, right? But like, not a lot of those people could do what Kaori does and just have the strength to do that running edge out of that axle.
It's strength and it's technique and it's just fucking owning it. And again, like, Japanese figure skating fans are knowledgeable and they understand the sport, and it was fantastic to see like 20,000 people in an arena again. I mean, it's been a long time since we've seen, because of the world plague, there's been, you know, empty arenas. It was just a delight to see her like nail that to like the roar of a home crowd. It just, it is poetry. It made me very happy. I will be, I know that I will be revisiting both of her programs from this world during the off season when I miss watching good skating.
Hell yeah. I also want to give a shout out to whoever decided that the ice scope did not need the chilling Grim Reaper sound effect that has plagued me for years about Japanese broadcasting's footage of skating.
I heard it in my head. As you said it.
Yeah, I don't like it. It's the last thing you hear before you die vibes. And I'm glad they got rid of it. They heard me, they saw me, and they took action. And I take full credit for it. I also want to say that I think that programs-wise,
I was going to say.
I love the Janet Jackson.
Yes.
And as loath as I am to part with it, I feel like Kaori almost never, like, I can't think of her ever missing with a short program. They're always so amazing that I just am like, when it comes to Kaori, I'm like, I want to see what she does next.
Yeah, I'm excited for a new set of programs. I am irked to have been forced to be emotional over Sia for an entire season. I wish I wasn't. I very much adore Kaori's free skate for the reason that it's Kaori's free skate. I would like to never have to experience human emotions through the sound of Sia ever again, and I'm excited for something new.
Yeah, I think what worked about it was that, first of all, I will say, like, Sia, not a great person, but that cut and edit from in like piano acoustic to instrumental to like full radio version was genius. And it's not that often that we see like a really beautifully executed music edit where everything is just perfect and seamless. Yeah. And so bravo to whoever did that. And second of all, I think Kaori free skates when they have the theme of like, I am resilient, don't fuck with me, I'm always gonna come back no matter what you do, they are always good. And that's been the last couple for her. So if that's like what she sticks with for a next free skate, I just hope that it's a song that is by somebody who's not bad.
I want to see her do Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Well, she did do Love Shack in, like, the most joyful exhibition ever, which if you haven't seen, go find it. It's just fucking joy.
I'm trying to think of other, like, I'm a woman kind of, like, programs.
Man, I feel like a woman.
Man, I feel like a woman. I would enjoy This Is a Man's World. I would enjoy, like, there is a set of, like, second wavy feminist bangers that I would secretly very much get into.
Yeah, I feel like she can handle it. I also want to acknowledge that, you know, I get it. Like, I don't know. She was really, like, emotionally exhausted and sad in a way after winning because she had set a personal goal of not making the same mistake because she had practiced it so hard. And she even said, like, you know, I practiced this so many times. Like, what was my practice all for if I messed it up at Worlds?
Yeah.
And I get it. I think if you've already won Worlds, then at that point, you do, in order to keep motivating yourself, have to set personal goals. And so it must be bittersweet to win again but have not achieved your personal goals. It must feel kind of unfulfilling, but I just hope that motivates her.
There is always next year.
Yeah, that's the thing, is I really hope it continues to motivate her.
I do want to say two last things, and I swear to God I'm done. I'm not. I could talk about her for hours. Two things, though. First of all, as a known No Roots fan, stan for the rest of my life, best program of all time, don't at me, Kari in a red dress with some funky cutouts is something that can be so personal, sparks immense joy. I'm like, whatever she does next year, I hope there's a red dress involved. I hope she never stops wearing a red dress. My second thing is something that was pointed out by my wonderful commentators, and also something that we could see in the medal ceremony, is while they were getting introduced for the warm-ups in both the short and the free, Mark and Belinda, who were there and watching like angles that we couldn't see, both pointed out that she is the kind of athlete who always applauds everyone else as they're getting introduced. And also in the award ceremony, there was like a moment where Luna couldn't find a Belgian flag in the audience, and Kari like skated around trying to help her find one so that they could like take the pictures and everything. I just love seeing like sportsmanship and like a complete athlete who's like a lover of the sport and of her fellow athletes who compete against her. This is it for me. Like, this is more important than anything else.
Yeah, so overall, fantastic Worlds.
Yeah, no amazing notes. Worlds. No notes. We may or may not do some honorable mentions and shit on Patreon at some point. First, we gotta cope with the fact that the goofy Olympics are coming up soon. But I think this is an episode, right?
I do, and I want to say there were sadly like not a lot of plushies going around, which was sad. So for Plushie Corner, I'll tell you about a plushie that I got for a friend of the show, Jules, because she had her first skating like exhibition, and I brought her a stuffed like ramen man. It's like a plushie ramen with a face, and I was this is amazing. I can't believe I found this at a Walmart in New Hampshire and not like whatever gift shop is at the Saitama Dome. It was just so great. So I'm proud of the fact that we had that plushie in our lives. And I also want to say something really important happened in Social Media Corner.
Okay.
Which is that Nathan Chen found a bird that abandoned its egg and he was worried.
Did you see this? I did. I also saw the implications that him and Jean-Luc are going to raise this bird baby as your own.
Yeah, and the thing that I loved about it, if I may, so to take you back to the beginning of this, so yes. Jean-Luc had I guess tweeted or Instagram posted about a bird that had a bad nest, and then that it built a nest that sucked, and then Nathan posted one outside his window with another shoddy nest, and he said, "Jean-Luc, I too have acquired a bird with a poorly built nest, haha." But then, update, bird gone, left a gift. So we see this egg sitting in this nest all alone. Nathan writes, question, will this egg be okay? It is cold outside. Next slide of this story, a screenshot of a Google search that tells you it's going to be okay. And Nathan says, update, egg should be fine, thanks to his sister, who is a scientist of some kind, I believe. But the most important thing about this is that it shows the search terms used. And the search terms used are bird egg too cold outside.
Someone on Twitter was like, this is a man who goes to an Ivy League college. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. This is how you have to talk to the machines.
Bird egg too cold outside.
Bird egg too cold outside is perfect. No notes.
Listen, I went to an Ivy League college and I have Googled stupider shit in my life than bird egg too cold outside.
I haven't gone to an Ivy League college, but bird egg too cold outside is exactly the sort of search term I would search. So I respect it.
So you basically did go to an Ivy League college.
Oh my God, thank you. Oh my God, I'm so smart. Hey, if you're here and you're still listening to us, thank you so much. We know that a lot of new listeners usually join us for Worlds. If this was your first episode, hi, welcome. We hope you enjoyed. This is a pretty decent sample size of what you're getting yourself into. Megan, do you want to give them the speech? The speech?
I'll give you the speech. First of all, if you don't like the fact that we swore, you don't have to tell us anything about it because other people have and it didn't change anything. We're not going to stop swearing. It's how we talk. So it's if you don't like it.
It's been nearly 5 years.
Yeah, you don't have to listen. We mark the thing explicit so that you know it's got swears. And so if you didn't see that and then you got mad there were swears, that's not our fault. That's your fault. Second, we are not professional, like, technicians or skaters or, I mean, we are, like, anything. Amateur, beginner, adult skaters. We're literally just fans. We're not paid by anybody or, like, getting favors from anybody. So our opinions are our own. And if you don't like them, that's okay. You can have your opinions. These are just our opinions. They hold no weight, really, other than just, like, you know, what we think. Yeah. And thirdly of all, that's it. I think that's the only... I don't know, right?
Thirdly of all, we're first and foremost lovers of the sport, fans of the sport, have been for a very long time. We're also theater folks. We met in theater school. Megan's a musician. I allegedly do comedy. So that's where we're coming from with all of this. We promise it's not super deep. We promise.
No, it's not. And we really, really respect everybody. And yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And if you did enjoy it, even if you're not a new fan, if you're a returning listener, if you're just one of our friends and you just want to say hi, you can do that by giving us 5 stars and a positive review on an app of your choice or on our website. Our website has its own review section. I know personally, I sometimes don't want to leave reviews on podcasts because you have to figure out like your Apple ID password and everything to log in to the purple icon and everything. You can just go to our website and there's a review section and you can leave us a kind word and tell us you enjoyed the show. It's icedpod.com/reviews if you want to go to the review section. You can also on there sign up for our newsletter. I've never in my life had to send the newsletter just yet, but we have it as a failsafe in case the clown car that is Twitter does crash. And if you want to stay in touch with us during off-season and everything as we kind of get there, just go to our website. Everything is there. You can find the rest of our stuff on there as well. What else?
We have a Patreon. It's how we keep the lights on in the studio. And by that, we mean, you know, running a podcast isn't free. We have to pay for, like, web hosting and all that stuff. So if you don't mind throwing us a little bit of money, we have over 3 years of bonus content at this point. And, you know, there's no vomiting involved. Just Mark and Ready, no mom spaghetti. We put up a bonus episode like most months. We try really hard to do it every month. And it usually involves like honorable mentions that we didn't get to on the main feed. Sometimes it involves like games and silly stuff, us talking about things that have nothing to do with figure skating. And that's really fun. It's called Spiraling. And if you want to get that and also get your name read aloud on the show, patreon.com/icedteapod. These are the amazing people who have already done so. We want to give a special shout out of thanks to Vicky, Laura, Ice Tiefling, T, Pancake Stack, Christine, Elise, Shades, Adity, Rhea, Elizabeth, Elena, Skating Diaries, Anna, Elmi, Mandolin Arts, Lily Putz, Bethany, Eve, Robin is Trans and Tired, A Different Robin, Tracy, Josiah, Sabrina, Magical Zebra and Winter, Alina, Rob, Catherine, Margaret, Marjorie, Robert, Annie, Skating Scores, Vox Machina, Samantha, Kieran, Sunny, Shomakauri Supremacy, Now More Than Ever, Baby, Samira, Joseph, KM, Lucy, Jennifer, Heath, Jules, and Danny and Jordan.
There are so many of you at this point, and it is overwhelming, and it brings a tear to my eye. Thank you so much for supporting us. And if you're listening, thank you so much for being here with us and enjoying our show. We will see you, hopefully, on social media for the Goofy Olympics. World Team Trophy is happening. We'll be hopefully commentating on it if there is a social media where we can do that. And in the meantime, Megan, where can people find you if they want to say hi?
They can just say hi at Megan Kelleher 3 on Twitter. That's like the only place I am, but come say hi to me. What about you, Netta?
You can find me at Neda Marie, that's N-E-D-A, and then just Marie on Twitter, also Instagram if you're into that. And you can find both of us over on Iced Tea Pod on Twitter, wow, that's still a thing, and icedteapod.com.
Thank you very much for joining us, and we will see you next time for the Goofy Olympics.
See you soon. Bye.
Bye. Okay, sorry. I'm still laughing about mom spaghetti.
Knees weak, Mark and Retty is... I'm never going to be funnier than that.